Good morning. This is Artificially Intelligent News for Friday, August 28, 2026. I'm Mark Ellison. This AI-created briefing is independently fact-checked, and the facts are current as of Friday morning. A federal judge has again halted the Trump administration's effort to impose new federal requirements on mail voting. U.S. District Judge Indira Talwani on Thursday blocked implementation of the executive order for 2 weeks. The decision comes only about a week before the first mail ballots are due to go out for the midterm elections. The Supreme Court recently issued a procedural ruling that allowed the administration to move ahead for the moment. It did not decide whether the order itself is lawful. The new rule would affect when the Postal Service could deliver mail ballots. States would have to provide voter lists and use specified envelope formats. Election officials say they do not have the time or funding to redesign ballots, update systems, train staff, and upload voter information before the election. Nearly 1 in 3 Americans votes by mail. A hearing is set for September 3rd, and another appeal is likely. The ruling is a reminder that election rules are often decided through overlapping court cases and tight administrative deadlines. For now, the existing state systems remain in place while the legal fight continues. In California, Meta has reached a landmark settlement with a coalition of states over allegations that Facebook and Instagram were designed in ways that harmed young users. The agreement calls for payments of up to roughly $17 billion over a decade, subject to court approval, and stronger protections for people under 18. State attorneys general say the money is intended for youth mental health programs, crisis services, digital literacy work, and other public health efforts. The proposed changes include default limits on teen use, overnight restrictions, stronger age assurance measures, and fewer notifications during school hours. The settlement resolves claims brought by 47 states, several territories, and the District of Columbia. It does not settle the separate lawsuits Meta still faces from individual families and school districts. The states allege that Meta used addictive design features and misled the public about the safety of its platforms. Meta has disputed allegations that its products cause harm, but says the agreement creates enforceable protections. The larger question now is whether these changes materially alter young people's experience on the two platforms and whether competitors adopt comparable safeguards. The administration's immigration policy is also broadening beyond the southern border. The State Department has paused immigrant visa processing worldwide while it gives consular officers guidance on revised public charge standards. An official told the Associated Press the pause began in early August and is expected to last into early or mid-September. Interviews already scheduled are expected to be rescheduled rather than canceled. The pause principally affects people seeking family-based immigrant visas, including spouses, parents, children, and siblings of U.S. citizens. Employer-sponsored applicants are generally not affected because they can demonstrate expected earnings. Separately, the administration is preparing to revoke business and tourism visas held by as many as 200,000 people who have applied for asylum, according to State Department documents and U.S. officials cited by the Associated Press. If carried out, it would be the largest single mass visa revocation in American history and would likely draw legal challenges. Immigration lawyers note that a visa revocation would not itself decide a pending asylum claim. Those claims remain subject to the separate immigration court process. In southern Arizona, contractors have begun work on a border wall project across part of the Tohono O'odham Nation's reservation despite the tribe's opposition. Customs and Border Protection says the location is a dangerous smuggling route and that the project would close a security gap. The Tohono O'odham Nation says construction threatens sacred land and that federal officials and contractors are trespassing under tribal law. The nation's members live on both sides of the U.S.-Mexico border. The disputed segment is part of a $46 billion administration plan that includes 30-foot steel bollard barriers, vehicle barriers, and surveillance technology. A federal judge allowed construction to proceed earlier this month, but the tribe's lawsuit remains active. The nation says the project could damage sacred mountain peaks and alter the boundaries and daily life of a community whose history predates the international border. The case puts border enforcement, tribal sovereignty, environmental concerns, and property rights in the same legal and practical dispute. It also shows how a national infrastructure plan can have very specific consequences for communities along the border. Out west, firefighters are working 2 active wildfires along California's Big Sur coast. The newer Plaskett fire began Wednesday in steep Monterey County terrain near Highway 1. It prompted evacuation orders and warnings for isolated properties, and authorities temporarily closed part of the coastal highway as aircraft dropped water and retardant. The fire had no containment reported Thursday, and its cause is under investigation. About 40 miles north, the timber fire has been burning since August 8th. It has grown to nearly 31 square miles and was more than 20% contained. Crews have used back-burning operations to deny it fuel and prevent it from moving toward more populated parts of Big Sur. For residents and travelers, the immediate issue is access. Highway 1 is both a major route and a lifeline for scattered coastal communities. Fire conditions and road closures can change quickly, so officials are asking people in the area to follow county evacuation notices rather than relying on old maps or social media posts. The White House has declared a national emergency over foreign-produced equipment used in the country's bulk power system. The executive order says foreign equipment and associated software used in high-voltage substations, control rooms, generating stations, and other parts of the grid can present cybersecurity or operational risks. It authorizes the Energy Department to prohibit or impose conditions on certain purchases, installations, and continued use of equipment that officials determine poses an unacceptable risk. The order does not apply to local electricity distribution facilities. It directs the Energy Department to publish implementing rules within 120 days and to identify equipment of concern in consultation with other national security agencies. The administration argues that the growth of data centers, artificial intelligence, advanced manufacturing, and defense production has increased the importance of dependable electricity. The policy's real-world reach will depend on the forthcoming rules, which equipment is covered, how risks are assessed, and whether utilities can obtain replacement equipment without creating reliability problems of their own. And in a healthcare and cybersecurity development, Boston Scientific says a cyber attack is causing a global disruption to parts of its operations. The medical device company said it detected the incident on August 25th and activated its response procedures. It is working with outside cybersecurity specialists while it investigates and contains the problem. Its regulatory filing said some information systems used to process and ship customer orders had been affected. The company has not publicly detailed the nature of the attack or said that patient care has been disrupted. That distinction matters. A disruption to corporate systems is serious on its own, especially for a company that supplies medical devices around the world, but it is not evidence of harm to individual patients. The episode is another reminder that healthcare supply chains depend on digital systems as much as physical manufacturing and transportation. Overseas, the war involving the United States, Israel, and Iran has reached the six-month mark. The conflict began February 28, when the United States and Israel launched strikes against Iran. The administration initially described the operation as likely to be brief, but the war has instead settled into a prolonged and costly regional confrontation. No American ground troops have deployed into Iran, but the conflict has consumed munitions, disrupted shipping, pressured energy markets, and complicated U.S. relationships across the Middle East. Qatar and other regional governments have been seeking an off-ramp. A tanker attack was reported again this week in the Strait of Hormuz, one of the world's most important oil shipping routes. At the same time, the United States is pressing other countries to reduce economic ties with Iran through the threat of sanctions. There is also a direct concern for U.S. allies in Europe. American and NATO officials told the Associated Press that Patriot missile interceptor inventories there are at a beyond critical level, in large part because of the war with Iran. Patriot systems are central to defense against ballistic missiles. The officials said the shortage raises questions about how well NATO could respond to a sustained Russian missile attack while Ukraine is already short of the same interceptors. The clearest point is that the war's consequences now extend far beyond Iran and Israel. They include American readiness, European security, commercial shipping, and the political pressure that accompanies a conflict with no clear endpoint. A humanitarian disaster is unfolding in the Himalayas after catastrophic flooding along the Nepal-China border. Nepal police said Friday that 469 people had been confirmed dead in Nepal after a flash flood and mudslide swept through river valleys this week. More than 1,500 people are reported missing across Nepal and Tibet. The figures are still developing as rescuers reach areas covered in mud and debris. Preliminary assessments point to a collapse involving bedrock and glacier ice that temporarily dammed a river before a destructive surge moved downstream. The flooding damaged homes, roads, bridges, hydropower facilities, and other critical infrastructure. Nepal's government says security forces, local authorities, health services, and disaster management agencies are involved in search, evacuation, and relief operations. The next threat is a newly formed lake near the border that authorities say has begun overflowing. Rescue flights were paused at one point because of the risk of further flooding. This is a fast-moving disaster with a large international dimension. Nepal's foreign ministry says people from more than 30 countries are among those missing. For now, the priority is search and rescue, while engineers and officials monitor unstable water upstream. Turning to the economy, Thursday was the most recent completed U.S. trading session. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at 53,569.44, up 105.56 points, or 0.20%. The S&P 500 finished at 7,730.99, up 55.29 points, or 0.72%. The Nasdaq Composite closed at 26,541.35, up 411.16 points, or 1.57%. Those are final Thursday closes, not futures or intraday figures. Technology shares led the advance after Nvidia reported results that surpassed Wall Street expectations. Nvidia said revenue for its fiscal second quarter was $96.2 billion, up 106% from a year earlier. Data center revenue was $89 billion, up 117%. The company reported adjusted earnings of $2.22 per share. Nvidia also projected third quarter revenue of about $108 billion, plus or minus 2%, and said its outlook assumes no data center compute revenue from China. Its shares rose sharply Thursday, helping lift the Nasdaq and the S&P 500. The results matter because Nvidia has become a bellwether for the wider artificial intelligence build-out. The earnings suggest customers are still spending heavily on computing infrastructure, but they do not settle the debate over whether that spending will produce durable profits across the broader technology industry. Investors are also weighing higher treasury yields, trade uncertainty, geopolitical risk, and today's Federal Reserve gathering at Jackson Hole. In sports, the four biggest college conferences have acted together to prevent athletes who have appeared on professional rosters from returning to play college football. The ACC voted Thursday to join the Big 12, Big 10, and SEC. The ACC policy also covers men's and women's basketball. Under its new rule, schools cannot add players who signed professional contracts, appeared on NFL, NBA, G League, WNBA, or affiliated team rosters, or entered a professional draft without properly withdrawing under NCAA rules. The rapid action follows the NCAA's new five-year eligibility framework and lawsuits seeking to expand opportunities for athletes whose college careers had ended. At least two players who signed with NFL teams as undrafted free agents had hoped to play for LSU. The conferences say they are preserving the distinction between college and professional sports and protecting competitive balance. Athletes and lawyers may challenge the conference rules, but the change matters immediately because the college football season begins in earnest this weekend. It is another example of athletic conferences making policy in response to a legal landscape that the NCAA no longer controls alone. A major sports medicine case is drawing renewed attention to opioid prescribing and athlete care. The Drug Enforcement Administration last month revoked the authority of California nurse practitioner Joan Rubinger to prescribe controlled substances. Federal authorities allege that over 4 years she prescribed 260,000 pills containing controlled substances to patients in more than 20 states. Rubinger agreed in March to pay $1.4 million to resolve a Justice Department's civil complaint. She did not admit wrongdoing in that settlement and agreed not to prescribe controlled substances again. The Justice Department alleged that prescriptions were issued without a legitimate medical purpose on at least 900 occasions. Rubinger's practice had a prominent sports clientele. Her website listed NFL Pro Bowl selections, NBA and WNBA champions, Olympic medalists, and athletes including Kobe Bryant, Dwyane Wade, and Fernando Tatis Jr. The case is not an accusation against those athletes. Its significance is the larger scrutiny of pain treatment in elite sports, where pressure to return from injury can collide with the dangers of addictive medication. A quick look at notable results from Thursday night. In the NFL preseason, the Bills edged the Steelers 28-27 on a late two-point conversion. The Browns beat the Patriots 37-13, with Dylan Gabriel throwing three touchdown passes. The 49ers beat the Raiders 18-12 as Eddie Pinheiro kicked six field goals. The Rams beat the Chargers 20-18 in their preseason finale. In the WNBA, the Golden State Valkyries beat the New York Liberty 79-60. Veronica Burton had 13 assists and no turnovers for Golden State. And in Major League Baseball, the Atlanta Braves shut out the Los Angeles Dodgers 1-0. Finally, the music world is continuing to remember Dolly Parton, who died Tuesday in Nashville after a brief battle with cancer. She was 80. Parton's influence reached well beyond country music. She wrote hundreds of songs, including Jolene, Coat of Many Colors, I Will Always Love You, and 9 to 5. Her recordings and songwriting reached audiences across country, pop, film, television, and Broadway. She was also a shrewd businesswoman who retained control of important parts of her work and helped transform her home region through Dollywood in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Her imagination library became one of her most lasting achievements. The nonprofit sends free books to children and grew from an effort in East Tennessee into an international reading program. Her philanthropy also included disaster assistance after the 2016 Smoky Mountains wildfires. A new stage production, Dolly, a true original musical, is scheduled to open January 19th, what would have been her 81st birthday. The tributes this week have reflected the unusual breadth of her legacy, a songwriter with an unmistakable voice, a performer with a gift for humor, and a public figure whose generosity was as recognizable as her music. That is the morning briefing. We covered the mail ballot ruling, Meta's teen safety settlement, immigration and border wall actions, California fires, the power grid, the Iran war, Nepal's flooding, Wall Street and NVIDIA, sports and Dolly Parton's legacy. Follow Artificially Intelligent News and share this briefing with one person who would value a calm morning news summary. I'm Mark Ellison. This is Artificially Intelligent News. Check out the article about AIN on aibusiness.vc. Find the link in today's episode description.